Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning, and we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. A Memorial Day like no other that we've seen in our lifetime, certainly, with what's happening with this pandemic. Shocking to see the names listed in the New York Times, Alan, of the people who have passed as the country heads to nearly 100,000 deaths because of the pandemic. The Times this morning, Memorial Day remembrances mixed with new grief and politics. President Trump without a mask. Joe Biden wearing one, visited memorials, and the WHO removed hydroxychloroquine from a drug trial.
Well, David, there are so many things to put our arms around here and our brains around. This is a very scary time for Americans. Let's face it, we've never seen anything like this before. And we are, as a country, in terrible, terrible trouble. You know, what's interested me, David, is that we are not nearly as publicly panicked as you might expect in this terrible time. First of all, the Times had it right. I've been saying it for days on the radio, that we're dealing with numbers as opposed to people. When you put the name of a person down, either on the Vietnam Memorial or on the front page of the New York Times, having died from the COVID-19, what you are saying is, this is a person, not a number. And it is because we see this whole pandemic as numbers that the national grief is not appropriate to what we are really going through. But what would you want? So what we're facing here is a very difficult time for Americans. We've never seen anything like it, and it is just a horrible moment in American history and in world history, of course.
Does it move the needle on the purples, Alan? We see some senior voters in Florida cast skeptical eye toward Trump's reelection. They profile a longtime Republican, Alan Lehner, 74. He didn't vote for anyone in the last election because he couldn't bring himself to vote for Hillary Clinton. But after seeing Trump in action, he says he will not vote for Trump.
David, we know that an awful lot of people voted for Trump because they just wanted something different. They were feeling a sense of malaise. They were feeling, nothing's really going right. And so we'll take a chance. We'll vote for this guy who's on television, who says you're fired, who can be outrageous, and maybe that'll make a big difference. Well, now a lot of people have realized that they cannot. I've just finished a book for an interview I'm doing by Thomas E. Patterson, Is the Republican Party Destroying Itself? And the answer is, it is, because there is a huge fight against increased voter participation, against people with brown and black skin, and it is a sense of, we have to stay on top, otherwise we're going to lose everything. Well, they won't, but many in the party think that they will, but by doing this, they are hurting their future chances, which brings us back to exactly what you were just saying, David, and that is that we are now having a second look at this president of the United States. Who is, after all, a man who is well known for telling whoppers and lies and being inappropriately sexually aggressive. This is more than most people can stand. And the other thing is that the economy of the country is shut down. Why do you think that anybody is going to vote, David, for a failed candidate who has produced the worst economy that this country has ever, ever seen, including the Great Depression?
Well, Alan, I wonder what you make of this. A Florida law requiring people with serious criminal convictions to pay court fines and fees before they can register to vote is unconstitutional. Judge Robert Hinkle wrote that Florida did not explicitly impose a poll tax, but by conditioning felons' voting rights to fees that fund the routine operations of the criminal justice system, it effectively created, quote, a tax by any other name.
Well, David, we know what's happening here. There is an attempt on the part of the Trumpers and people like them to limit and restrict voting in the United States. They don't want absentee voting. They don't want computer voting. They don't want more voting places. What they want is to limit access. And when you limit access, you are creating an election that is unfair and unwanted.
One of the other tolls, and it's a big one, is the health concern. More people are taking drugs for anxiety and insomnia, and doctors are worried. As coronavirus health concerns, social isolation, and job loss stress takes a toll, people are turning to medications. It can, quote, very quickly become a habit.
I couldn't agree more. I do know that people are really hurting, and they are staying home. It is creating unrest within homes. It is making for dependency on drugs. In some cases, there are at least anecdotal reports of increased suicides. This is not a good situation. when people are expected to be at home and to have no outside interaction, and when you keep reading about domestic, you know, you have a very serious situation.
And the idea, Alan, right, that a second wave could happen, as I'm looking at the televisions while we're talking, with Alabama's beaches packed with people on the Memorial holiday, a second wave is very possible.
Oh, no question about it. This is a virus. It goes from one person to another. If you don't wear a mask, and if you sit in a packed beach, what do you think is going to happen? And yet, you know, it is animal behavior, and it is what we can expect because we are animals, we are human beings, and some people don't want to listen to reason. It's the way it is.
Are always reasonable. Alan Chartok with us this morning. Alan, thank you. Glad to be back with everyone. Stay safe.
That's the best thing you can say. Stay safe. Be reasonable. Do what you need to do. Listen to the radio. We're your friends. We're here for you. That's why we have this radio station. And when you talk about drugs and you talk about people taking no precautions, you really do wonder what we as a society are doing to ourselves. So let's everybody cheer up, turn on the radio, be with us, we'll be with you, and we'll talk.